Hi, welcome to Sonic Serial. I'm Jesse.
And I'm Mark. And in this podcast, we take a deep dive into albums from some of our favorite artists, track by track. And today, one of our favorite albums, one of my favorite albums, is The Impersonation by Sine Wave. And we have the pleasure of having Mr. Sine Wave here with us tonight.
Hello.
My podcast partner. Introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Sine Wave.
And what's your name?
I'm Jesse.
And, alright, before we get into this album, tell us how you started your music career and why.
I was working. I was walking in the park, and a studio exec came up to me, a producer came up to me and said, "Hi." And that's when I knew.
Okay. All right. Before we get started,
I'm nervous.
How did you come up with the title for The Impersonation? Oh, wait. This is Sine Wave's third album. The first album is...
I'm sorry, what? The first album?
The name of your first album.
Is new.
And your second album?
Sine Noise.
And then this is The Impersonation. So how did you come up with the name?
I wrote a lyric called... Well, how did it go? Like, I've been trying to figure out the impersonation you've been doing. So then I was just... It's titled after that song, The Impersonation. It's just... as far as what it means... Because in LA, it's like... This album is about, like, movies and stuff in LA. And so... I feel like... You know... Actor is a popular profession.
All right, that's enough.
Are you kidding?
All right, let's talk
about the Joan Rivers. You.
Let's talk about the songwriting. on this album, how do you?
Well, no, it's also like a double entendre. Like, people act by profession, but people also act in life. Like, because there's a lot of fake people in LA.
Yes,
and so that's what it's. You know, got all these meanings.
All right, I'm sorry to cut off your creative description.
I'm just gonna stay up all night if you don't let me get that out.
Okay. Songwriting. How do you typically write an album? Do you do it all at once? Do you do it over time in pieces?
I wish I was talented enough to do it all at once, but I actually do it like in little pieces, even with the lyrics. It's rare that I'll just sit down and write a whole song lyric, but like it's usually just one or two phrases that I like think of, and I'm like, that would sound good.
Okay.
And then in the end, I try to put them all with their respective families and find out who goes together and what could be a cohesive song.
Thank you. And as far as production, is there anything about this production that you are proud of or that you were really happy with how it turned out?
Yeah, like pretty much. Yeah, because, well, I was thinking more like with the musicians that I collaborated with on this album. I think I still think, like, how did I do that? Because I'm not like a people person, or I'm very guarded about my work as well. So it's hard to share it with other people, and especially people that are going to play on it, because you hope that they're enjoying what they do and they actually like your songs, and because it's hard to make music for people's music that you don't like, if that makes sense.
Yes.
And I'm happy with the results. I was very afraid, like, you don't never know, like, when you're collaborating with other people, like they might disappoint you and might not be on your wavelength.
Yeah.
And understand what you mean about things. So I'm quite pleased with how the sound turned out, and it's kind of it's rare that you set out to do something in your mind and it actually comes out that way. You know?
I know. All right, let's get started with the album. What's the name of the first song?
I, Sleepwalker.
And how did you come up with that name?
I thought it was cool.
Okay. Do you have like a sleepwalking?
I think I was thinking like people were all. I'm an office worker, and you just feel like everyone's sleepwalking around you.
Okay.
But then in LA as well, it applies because, like I was saying earlier, everyone's just fake and just like kind of one track mind as to what they want or what world they want to live in. And it's a lot of narcissism as well and entitlement. And so it's just like people, like zombies, with that one thing in their mind and they're just walking around like ants to it.
Take a listen.
Why did I agree to do this? I don't know where that's playing.
Oh. It's in our headphones.
Okay.
It sounds really good.
And it's good because I make headphone music. Can I turn this down? See what you're saying now? I think that's a good volume.
Yeah, it's a good volume.
So as I was saying, it's good to listen to in headphones because I make all my music in headphones. I don't have a like speaker system, but I don't know. And I always prefer to listen to music in headphones, so I make music for headphones.
Oh,
because I feel like when I play this on speakers, it doesn't really translate how I want it to. I was listening to it just now, and my vocals are really quiet.
Yes, your vocals are very quiet.
So I think if I felt compelled to do so, I'd probably separate the stems and, I don't know.
Re-release it?
Yeah, sure, I don't know.
All right, what are the lyrics about? What is this song about? Is it, it's the narcissism, that's what you're talking about, or is that just the title?
Oh, man. Okay, what am I talking about? You know, most of this album I wrote just by listening to the songs repeatedly, like on random nights. Sorry. And, what was I saying? Oh, and then I would just improvise, so. But then, everything you search for, everything you wait for, is within you. What?
That does not sound like you.
Sounds like a Christian rock song. Okay, strung out on giving, exhausted everything, you've taken all you can take. I don't know.
Is this about someone in particular?
No, I think it's just a self-indulgent song, maybe about like... that's why it's called I.
Oh, okay.
Because it just seems like someone's given all they can or try their best and they just feel kind of beaten down. So I feel like it's easy to feel that way in Los Angeles.
Totally.
Because it's the cliche. You have dreams of LA and how it's going to be like glamorous and glitzy and you get there and it's just tough and dark.
Alright, I think that's a really good...
It's also a double entendre, like, because it means one. It's a Roman numeral for one, so it's like the first thing, the first song.
Yeah.
It sets the tone for all of it, I guess.
For the intelligence that the rest of the album is going to give us.
Yeah.
Alright, what's the second song?
The second song is called Another Psycho.
And give us a quick overview.
Let's say, like, loungy, but scary, creepy, I don't know.
And is it about anything in particular, or you just, it's just, the music just feel, just kind of pours out of your brain?
Yeah, I think, these were just phrases that were in my head, I guess. Oh, you dance on the stage like a puppet part? It's funny.
And who's this about?
No, so also another thing about this album, because I don't know if I said already, but it's inspired by films.
No, you didn't.
So it's inspired by LA and it's inspired by films, because I was living in LA at the time and to get into film, and I like films, and so I took a lot of quotes from random films, and this one was from Seven. So I think it's appropriate because Psycho, yeah. Seven.
What sick, ridiculous puppets we are, and what a gross little stage we dance on. What fun we have, dancing, fucking, not a care in the world, not knowing that we are.
Yeah, I called it Another Psycho because another thing about this album is it's very derivative, so... I don't know if that's the right word, but it...
It's derivative of your other work?
No.
Or derivative of other artists?
It's from scores, film scores.
I see.
So this is probably the most unoriginal album I've done.
Huh.
Yeah. But, you know, who cares?
Wait, why would it be unoriginal? You came up with this concept.
I guess so. And we just talked about OK Computer, and then that was surprisingly quite the derivative album, and you know, they don't put it on the liner notes because they found a way to manipulate it and make it interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, oh, yeah. Glad we got through that.
The reason I got there is because I was making a piano piece inspired by Bernard Herrmann's Psycho, or it takes the actual score of Psycho, and I was playing it on piano, and then that's how I built this song. And so I didn't know what the working title to call it, because it was from Psycho, so I call it Another Psycho.
Oh, nice. That's cute.
I made a playlist on YouTube for like all the film scores that I was inspired by with this album.
Is it still on YouTube?
Yeah, that's right. I'll put it in the description if anyone wants to watch it. You know how I like my list.
All right, next song.
Next song is French Kiss in the films, and my one line overview of that is that it's my favorite song, and it's like very French, I feel.
Do you remember what order you wrote this in? Was this like the first song you wrote or the last song you wrote?
Good question. I would have to say this was... I can't remember. Well, it's such a... It was like in the middle, probably. I feel that way. This is what it would be like if I did this by myself. Just laughing at my own jokes.
I asked because I'm always curious about the creative process, because sometimes the first thing that comes to your head is often the most pure, you know, because you haven't overthought it.
Yeah.
But then other times, the last thing that you do, it's like you had the perspective of doing it so far, and so then you're like, this is the culmination. That's why I wondered if it was the first or the last, because it's your favorite.
I don't know.
All right.
I can't explain it.
But that's fine.
I have the thoughts, I just can't explain them. What else?
What did we cover already? I forgot, I got up and got some wine.
First line overview. Well, let me just change the channel. I don't know what that is.
That's frightening.
This is French Kiss in the films.
And tell us about why you wrote this song.
Why did I write this song?
Because you were living in LA.
Well, what do you mean, the music or the lyrics?
They're not together. You did them separate.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's another thing. I never do songs and I never make music and do lyrics at the same time.
Really? Okay.
Maybe there's something, but I just can't think of it.
Okay. We don't need, like, all of the background for every song.
Sorry.
I'm just listening to it. I just want to, like, stop and be high and listen to this music.
Aw, that's... Yeah, I like that. That's what everyone always says to me. They're like, it's good, but it makes me want to get high.
All right, let's move on to the next song.
Oh. Wait, I have something to say.
Oh, okay.
There's this there's this weird flute sound.
Yes.
And how I made that is I just used the flute sound on GarageBand, and then I had this old school like cassette recorder with the tape.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the microphone. Oh, and the
microphone and a cord?
Yeah, that I found up. I found it. And I used that to record the flute, and then I played it back on the tape, and I'd like hit like the pause button lightly to make it sound like all screwy, like, yeah, and give it this like analog modulated sound. Like very like an old tape, like that's been played too many times, and I'm proud of it. Because that's kind of how the Mellotron keyboard sounds. Sorry.
No, I
geeked out there for a minute.
I really like it. All right. Do you want to move on to the next song?
Sure. Good thing you didn't ask me about the lyrics on that song.
What about the lyrics on that song?
Oh, man.
Come on.
Let's see. It's like when I had ambitions of acting.
Okay.
And, you know, I think in a lot of, I don't think I'm the only one here, but you fantasize, like, when you're dating and stuff, that it's gonna be, like, romantic in the movies and stuff like that. And so I think growing up, you imagine what, like, your first kiss would be like. I don't know.
Okay.
Or like, yeah, your idea of romance. And so, it's like sometimes the reality doesn't align with that. And,
did yours align with that?
No, that's why I wrote this song. So,
well, you were talking in general before, I thought.
Yeah, it's just a stark reality of, like, I'm never gonna get the fairy tale ending. I don't know. And, I don't know. Oh, there's something in here where this says, the past you analyzed, the traps that disappeared will reemerge. And I took that from the film Solaris, the 60s version.
And did you already have a song in mind when you took the specific lines from it?
No, so later what I do is I just go through it and I'm like, this would be good in that song. And it kind of fits.
So you do the music and then you watch the movie and you say, this little piece would go well with the song.
Oh, no, I cheated. I used the internet.
And okay.
I just looked up films that I like on IMDb, and then it's just like, do they have any good quotes in there?
I see.
Like, classic films, very eloquent.
I, th- I thought you sat and watched the movie and then had to pick out lines.
No.
All right.
That sounds like a lot of work.
What's the next song?
City of Colors. Oh, no. The Impersonation. I'm sorry.
So this is the...
The titular.
Titular.
Titular. Yeah.
So...
It's waltzy.
Dreamy.
Dreamy. Hey.
I'd say it's kind of milky.
I made a bunch of visuals for this album, kind of. Like little tiny commercials,
yeah,
if you will. Little clips I can put on the Instagram.
Oh, I saw those.
Yeah, and they're all pink. Yeah. I had lots of fun making them.
That was nice.
So, if you want to check
them
out.
Why did you give up on promoting yourself?
Good question. Okay. I think I just gave up on myself completely.
Oh. Tell us some more about that.
No.
So where are you today?
Where am I today?
In the giving up versus not giving up.
Oh, yeah, I've given up.
All right. Can we move on from this song?
Already? Okay.
No. Tell us about this song.
It is inspired by a Bernard Herrmann piece from the film North by Northwest. Mm. It kind of sounds like Nude, Radiohead.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there's violin on it.
I remember listening to it just a little bit ago, thinking this must be a sample, because I hear you play now. I hear your violin playing now.
Oh, that's not my...
I'm saying, like, if it sounds like this now, I doubted it would have sounded like that 5 years ago. But it's very well produced.
Yeah. It's just one guy I found off of Craigslist, and I think he lives in New York. I have to give a shout out.
Give a shout out.
It was just one guy, and he made it sound like a quartet, and that is Luke Sizzle. That's Sissel. I'm sorry, Luke Sissel, and that's with Cissell. And he does the violin, viola, and the cello, all three. So good for him. And
while we're
on musicians, I'll just also shout out the drummer Tom Gonzalez. He was very friendly, and he achieved the sound that I wanted. I don't know if he did it because I said so or if it just worked that way, but it was good, and I'm very pleased with it. But we were talking, and he did say that he played with Air once on like a KCRW show, or he met them. But still, yeah.
There's a connection between your album and Air's.
Yeah, look at that. And then Air is a big influence on this album, the Virgin Suicides soundtrack.
I can see that. Thanks for sharing that now.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about this song.
Yeah.
It's very electronic, synthy. City of Colors. Los Angeles.
Well, to me, the little vibration reminds me of Colors. Like,
trrr, oh, like. That's cool. That wasn't intentional, but you get all these, like, perceptions that all draw it in.
Because colors are wavelengths, you know, and like,
yeah,
like, I don't know.
Thanks. I did have a longer lyric I remember for this. It was like bar hopping, name dropping, pill popping. This is like a Nicki Minaj song. Yeah, and obviously it was just didn't really wasn't working. So I had this line at the end that says "Don't get attached," and I think that's kind of a therapeutic thing for me, because I have a tendency to get attached to everything, and I can't let things go. Even like in this case, maybe I was referring to like dreams and aspirations, and like, you know, there's a lot of disappointment in LA. Even if it's just something as stupid as like going to a concert or whatever. It's not making any sense.
No, you aren't. So how old were you when you wrote this? 30?
30.
Yeah. Okay. The ripe old age of 30.
Yeah. And, just... You get let down very easily if you get attached to things. So you just have to not get too serious about something or someone. I like it.
I like it too. I like all the songs on this album. Speaking of, what's the next one? The
next one is Way Back. And I think this is the longest. Yeah, it's the longest song on the album. Again, it's very cello heavy, and
that's a good name.
I was trying to make a really sad song, obviously.
Yeah.
Like Cigarosish. There's some. It's inspired, as far as music, it was inspired by this French film I really like, is with Brigitte Bardot. It's called Les Mépris. I don't know. Or Contempt. And I like the score.
Et mes chevilles, tu les aimes?
Oui.
Tu les aimes, mes genoux?
It was inspired by the Fahrenheit 451 soundtrack as well. Maybe even a little Batman Returns.
And what are the lyrics?
Well,
what are you talking about?
Oh, I was flipping through a fashion magazine and just looking at all these photos and just making up stories about them.
But the people in the photos?
Yeah, at first it was very technical, like she's putting her hand on the mirror or something, or like she's running her hands through her hair or something. I don't know.
Okay.
She's walking down the street. And then it made me think of, like, that Brigitte Bardot character in the French film. Good movie. I think it was about, yeah, you know, it's French affairs. But it's shot beautifully. And it's in Italy, and, who's the director? Jean-Luc Godard. Yeah. He's good.
Yeah. That's, when you say away, is that what you're saying?
Her way.
Her way?
Yeah.
That's an unusually melodic, kind of riff for you.
Like a run?
No, like, you go from a high to a low, you know, like a...
Yeah. You know, sometimes you just gotta let it out.
It just happens infrequently, so when you hear it,
I really like the ending of this song.
What do you like about it?
I think I did a good job. I think that's kind of... Oh, that's also inspired by the Psycho score, one of the pieces. I think it's called Temptation. Yeah. And, yeah, I had a totally different version of this song when I started it. It was more like James Blakey.
Yeah.
I don't know. More piano-y. And
how did it evolve into this version?
I don't know. I kind of feel like there's five songs in this song.
Okay.
But, you know, sometimes, yeah, things are totally different from A to Z. Yeah, I don't know how it happens. Because sometimes you just want to scrap everything and just...
Do you still have both versions?
I do.
Maybe we can take a listen.
Yeah, let's take a listen. Yeah.
Anything else you want to say about it?
I'm pretty happy with it.
Okay. Then let's move on to the next song.
Okay. So much to say about this song.
Okay.
The music is inspired by James Bond.
Very cool.
The pieces are 007 and Counting and Space March or something like that. But yeah.
I don't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, I like those old John Barry soundtracks. What else? Oh, the title. You got the title. Do you know what that means?
No.
I don't even know.
Where did it come from?
You never do that in text?
What?
You never even say, like... IDK or IDEK?
Yeah.
You do that?
I mean...
It's okay.
I know what it means, but I don't use for it, I guess, very often in my texts.
Yeah, well, it's just to stress, like, emphasize more on you don't know. Like, you don't even know.
No, I know what it means.
Anyway... Yeah, I just called
it. I don't that. LOL a lot either.
I just thought. Okay. Because when I was. I think that was the working title. And I was just like, I don't even know. I don't know what to call it. I don't even know. Anyway, the lyrics are kind of stalkery.
Are they about someone?
No, this is just one of those improv, like...
Okay.
Where did it come from? And, yeah, it's like, I need to know when everything goes wrong, you'll run to me. Like, that's their fantasy, like they're the last resort, I don't know. And then it's like... First it comes off like it's kind of caring, like I'm only saying like these things because I care about you. Then it gets kind of scary because it's like, yeah, I think the last line is, I need to know when you are waking up in someone's arms. I think that's why I don't turn out the vocals that loud. I just keep them quiet because I'm like, I don't want anyone to know what I'm saying here.
No, I like them there.
Yeah.
They feel like there's some emotion behind them.
Yeah. And so, that's all. But the drums, they're electronic. In case you couldn't tell. They're from my keyboard drums. So, no real drumming on that one.
What about this drum?
This is a real drum. This is Angry Valentin. Oh! I have to tell you. I already told you. My uncle tried to tell me.
I think you spelled Valentine wrong.
Like, what was that? That was just last year. Or a month ago. It was like, yeah, I know. It's been out for like the last, what, 4 or 5 years? I don't know. And, why did I call it that? I don't know. Working title again. It's, I started this song on Valentine's Day, and I was obviously single, so... You know, just like whatever, just a holiday to me, just another day to me. So, you know, I'm being this loser, just working on music. Well, yeah.
But look at you now.
Look, I know.
Being interviewed for a podcast
about, I know,
your, about your third, out, third out of seven albums.
Hi, Mom. What else? Yeah, I called it Valentin because Valentin is a name,
yes,
right?
Yes, and that was the original name.
Yeah, and so, because it sounded like my funny Valentine too much, and then I thought Angry Valentine, there was like, it reminded me of Angry Johnny by Poe.
Oh, yeah.
So it was like, I like that, profoundness of no, that's not the word, right word, but of like being angry someone.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Emotion. Depth of the feeling.
No, ambiguity. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
Anyway. Oh, this song is very derivative. It's, I pulled a piece from, it's a Western film called 12 Days of Anger.
Is that a spaghetti western?
Yeah, and yeah. Ennio Morricone, Le Casse, Case, and then there's some her name is Francois Hardy, the singer. And
we talked about her recently.
Maybe.
Okay.
And, I don't know. So many things.
Anything else on the song, or you want to move on to the next one?
Let's move on. Glitter Over Trash. I was thinking of calling the album that.
Oh, that would have fit too.
So that was my, that's what kept popping up in my head when like I think about the city in general. It's just, I think I was going to call it like Trash Covered Glitter. I don't know. That sounded too, like, whole. But, yeah, I think
I like Glitter Over Trash. In fact, when you lived in that apartment in Eagle Rock, remember that big dumpster that was outside?
Yeah.
I'm sure I saw glitter on top of trash there.
Yeah, and I feel like that's what the city is. It's just, like, a lot of what am I? Debris.
I think of it as like glitter is like the
covered by like this glamorous facade.
Yeah.
Like a lot of corruptedness. I don't know. It's too dramatic. But
I think the glitter is like the dream. You know, like the sparkling thing that you're reaching for. So it's like
glitter over trash, honey. It just sounds like a saying. Like, pearls before swine.
For who?
I don't know. Anyway.
What would the name of the drag queen be that would be your saying?
I don't know. I don't know drag queens well. What else? Is it ambient? This is my least favorite song on the album, actually.
Interesting.
There's always like one or two on every album I do that I'm like, I should have just left that off. Because it's like I had something in my brain and this just strayed very far from it. And
what did you put it on because you felt like you needed a longer album, or you felt like I'd made it, I might as well put it out there?
Probably at the time I was just like, this is kind of decent, but in later years I was like,
I see.
Yeah, it's kind of embarrassing, but it's cool. There's some ambient pieces at the intro and the end, and then I made that by using this thing called Pulse Stretch on Mac. So what it does is it takes an audio and it like stretches it out, and it just makes it sound like really weird. It drags.
So just it doesn't just slow it down.
No, it's like the same pitch, but it's just like dragging it out, and it makes it sound like very like ethereal, and pop songs sound really good on it. I use the tape player again, but with my voice, and there's this like sitar sounding instrument, and that came from my brother's house.
He had a sitar.
No, it's like probably more like a dulcimer. I don't know what it is. It's like okay. A homemade, you tie the wire strings.
Oh, yeah.
And we were just messing with it. And yeah. It was Sheila's. She has lots of instruments.
Yeah. I told you that conversation that just made a dark turn.
Yeah. And plus, I couldn't think of any lyrics for this song, and all I'm saying is glitter over trash, pick up where you left. I don't even know.
I like the sentiment behind it.
Yeah.
Like describing LA that way.
I was inspired by this one song in this old movie called Portrait of Jenny, but it just didn't come out that way.
I think it fits. I like it in the album. It's kind of like this breather between.
Oh, and this clarinet piece by Bernard Herrmann. I can't remember, but I'll play it.
Oh, that one.
Yeah. I think it's called Wrong Man. Old movie. Anyway, anything else you want to know about this song?
No.
Okay. We got... I don't even know how to pronounce this. I didn't make this album. Medial. Does that sound right?
Medial?
Medial.
Oh, medial, yeah.
That sounds better.
Yes.
I don't know. When you use dictionary.com... You just... What was I thinking? Is that when you're at that midpoint in your life?
I see. Yeah.
No, I don't even know what medial means anymore. I forgot. What did I call this song that? This is a shame. I like this song, too. I'm sure there's some fitting definition.
Well, anything that stems from the Latin word means like the middle.
Yeah, so it's probably like you're in the middle of
everything. It could be the middle. Yeah, you're. It's the middle.
Yeah.
So.
But I like this song.
Yeah.
I use autotune in my voice. In some songs, I just want to come out about that. Not that it's like, oh, I'm wondering how he gets his voice like that. It's so majestic. I was inspired by Ryuichi Sakamoto's for a film called Gohato. Gohato.
How did you come across this film?
I've never seen the film, actually.
So you weren't inspired by the film.
No.
You're inspired by the music.
The music, yeah.
Of the film. Okay.
No, I'd like to see the film, though. It's about a samurai that's, like, this androgynous, like, guy. And he, like... I don't know, like gets with these other samurais.
Like, okay.
I don't know. And they're like angry because they're like, I just said sex, man. And so it's, but it's more, it's more dramatic. What? Than making it sound and more suspenseful. And yeah, because I think the title means taboo. So I don't know. Yeah, I don't. It's a provocative just, like, film.
On after Looney Tunes. How did you?
Anyway. No.
How'd you hear about it?
Oh, I had this compilation called Coming Home by Nouvelle Vague. It's a good compilation, and it takes a lot of scores. Chill ones. Yeah, I like
compiles it. Piles them.
Yeah. And, yeah, it's good. And, oh, yeah, that's how I found out about the James Bond song as well.
Cool.
So, it's a good compilation. That song was on it, the Ryuichi Sakamoto one. I don't know. Sorry.
Anything else for this song? Would you, if you were going to remix this song today, how would you remix it?
You gotta put a reggaeton beat on it. Everything has that nowadays.
All right, that's a challenge.
All right. Are we moving on?
Let's move on.
The next song is called Stuck.
And what number song is this on the album?
This is the next to last song, so this is the 11th song.
Let's take a listen. I like all the layers
on the song. Yeah, this is probably the most layered, energetic song on the album. I was listening to it just now, and I like it.
Still stands up for you.
Yeah, I'm pretty proud of it. But I think that's when the edible was kicking in. But this comes from I like the soundtrack of Michael Nyman. The soundtrack to The Piano. Did you ever see The Piano?
Yes.
Yeah, so I like that, and this is one of the pieces on
it. But have you seen The Piano? Because
I haven't. What's so funny? Why can't you like a score without seeing the film?
No, it's just funny because you keep saying, like, I'm inspired by this film. Oh, I haven't seen it, though.
No. The soundtrack, and
no, I think that's interesting, because usually you watch a film and then hear the soundtrack.
Yeah.
So you have that association. So you're listening to it without any predetermined visuals.
I think I was also inspired a little bit by an artist called Bibio. Sounds a bit My Bloody Valentine.
Anything else about the song?
We haven't even been talking about my lyrics. It's fine.
No, that's what I wanted to say. Like, what do you want to talk about next?
This just seems really emo. The chorus, don't get stuck on moments your head can't fit in. So it's like when you get too big-headed or, like, dreamy about something, I guess. I think that's what he's saying. don't get stuck on plans your thoughts can't finish. So it's like when you don't think plans through, maybe.
Well, I was thinking it was like being decisive. But yeah, either one.
And then, there's this, like, little bridge thing where it's, like, starry-eyed fuckhead. That's why I had to put the
That one line?
Explicit, whatever. Well, you know, you say one fuck, you get in trouble for all that fucking fuckery. And, you looked up, saw me floating, you had to kick me down because I had to think out loud. It's like, don't know. It's like the cover. We haven't talked about the cover. Yeah. Where I'm just floating up. I'm supposed to be floating up, but there's been many interpretations about what's happening.
It's funny because when I first saw it, I thought you were jumping. Like, I thought it was just you jumping, and then you told me that people thought you were hanging.
Yeah, that I was like, geez.
Then I was like, oh, okay, I guess I see it.
I didn't see it at all first. I guess it's kind of fitting. This album is depressing. I actually made that a whole production. I took that photo myself.
Where did you do it? In your apartment?
Yeah. And I just taped up some of those, like, tinsel things.
Yeah.
I got some from the Dollar Tree. And I got some glitter, and I just poured it all over my feet. Because that's the glitter from L.A., the glitter of the trash.
Your feet are the trash.
Yeah. I don't know. No, because I've been walking in the glitter.
Oh, I see.
Glittery trash. I think there's a rose on the floor. So it's very... trollified. Yeah, and then I was just taking pictures in my apartment. Can you imagine if you're like a neighbor of mine and you get all nosy and see through the windows, you're like, what the fuck is this? What in the OnlyFans?
Please, that's probably like the tamest thing happening in your building.
Yeah, but I was happy with it because I really wanted the album to be pink. You know, it's very indie cute. I was trying to go for that aesthetic.
Did this set the pink aesthetic that was on like your Instagram? Like, was it the song that kind of?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, this song?
Yeah.
No. There's no particular song that influenced that decision. But, yeah, so, yeah, my intention with that was to make it seem like, you know, someone's being abducted or, like, floating up with their dreams and being abducted by this fantasy.
Or it's like the rapture.
This, yeah. Sure, that sounds good. And it just seems very, like... Yeah, when I envisioned it in my head, it's just, like, very, like, wooden LA apartment floors. And someone's just had a party, maybe, and... I don't know. They're flooding out of their LA apartment. Yeah. And I wanted it to be very neon.
Yeah.
Pink lights.
I like that.
You want to know how my cheap ass or my dumb ass made that pink light? I went to Home Depot and they got one of those fluorescent light sticks.
Home Depot? That is a big production. Okay.
And then I went to office supplies and I got these like gel... Like, things that are meant to, like, put, like, note cards in or something. And then I taped it to the light stick. The pink ones. And it made a nice pink light.
It did. Why don't you just use one of these, like, Philips Hue things?
I didn't know about those at the time. And they do sell pink light bulbs, but...
That's true. It probably wouldn't have been the same.
I could have got all this stuff on Amazon, but I liked legwork back then.
Back then.
Yeah. So.
No, I bet it was just that you were very passionate about this and, like, you just wanted to be part of the process. Mm-hmm. It was more than just the music. It was a whole, like, artistic endeavor.
Yeah.
Give you a minute.
All right.
All right, let's talk about the last song.
In boxes. what's happening?
This sounds very Hitchcocky.
Yes, and funny you should say that, because if you reverse it, it's like a version of, it's called Marion and Sam and the Psycho soundtrack. So it's from That's Psycho. That's cool. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So,
well, you achieve.
It's the shortest. Would you say?
I said you achieved the vibe.
Thanks. Then,
it's what short. Are you saying?
Oh, in boxes. So the lyrics.
Are you gonna sing right now?
I think the main thing about this song came from like. I feel like L.A. was nothing but lines. Not the Kanye snort, but, like, waiting in lines, like, for things, and then being, like, turned away at the last minute, because everything is about the hype. There's no management. There's no organization. Just, they try to get as much people as they can, and then they're, like, people are just objects in L.A.,
And who's they? Who's putting people in
to hire people? They look down on the little people.
The high people?
Sure. And in boxes, I feel like that's just like...
You're just...
A lot of labeling, segregating... Putting everything into a category, and I feel like that's really LA. Like,
yes,
it's like high school. There's cliques, and then like LA itself in general. It's like all these little neighborhoods, all these little cities, and they're like, oh, I'm from Silver Lake. Oh, well, I'm from Marina Del Rey. And it's like, well, why don't you just say you're from LA? It's just like, I don't know. I feel like it's too much. It's overkill. It doesn't need to be that many little. Tables, does there? I don't know. Anyway. Well. Yeah, that's pretty much it. It's just like a lot of...
And to me, in boxes is like, it's where you put things away. It's like, I don't want to see this anymore.
Yeah.
I'm going to put it in a box and just put it in the attic.
Compartmentalizing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think I was trying to go for some of the sounds in this album was that very like cigarettes after sex, and oh gosh, oh Timber Tambor,
yeah.
Hot streams, we'll fork and divide, fork and divide.
Sorry, I won't do that. Yeah,
you got a wine there?
There's kind of a Western vibe in LA. I don't know what it is, but maybe it's because it's so close to the desert, but yeah. Yeah.
And for me, it's the like old Hollywood.
Yeah.
Like, it's so synonymous with Westerns that...
I used to live near a horse ranch, like in Pasadena-ish area.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The one by the Wash, the LA River.
And then I went to a barbershop called The Westerner in Echo Park. I don't know if it's still there. But, it was cool. It was Western themed, and they played nothing on TV but Westerns. And there's a lot of cool, like, foreign Western posters.
And I mean, California is the West. You can't go any further west.
Yes.
So.
That is true.
Los Angeles is the West. Like, you can't go any further west.
Yeah.
So. It's literal.
Yeah.
And metaphorical.
But I never felt that way in Sacramento. Yeah.
What else would you like to say about this song? I like this song a lot.
Yeah. I dinged some of my silverware for that triangle noise you hear in the background. I like it. It would be, I always envision myself playing this live and be funny because it's like, this is it. This is the show you waited in line for this for no reason. You wasted your time.
Why would people think that?
I don't know.
You think they're going to come to see you and not know what to expect?
Yeah.
Well, no. Or you're saying the live version.
I'll market myself as like a Beyonce type of...
Oh, so you're going to hype it up.
Yeah. They're going to be like, what the hell is this? You can't dance to it. Like, I chugged all those Red Bulls for this.
That should be a song.
Everything's a song to you.
All right, let's close this out by...
I went to an actual recording studio. No. What were you saying?
Was there anything from an album perspective that is that stands out or is unique to you about this album versus the other ones you've done?
What stands out on this album? I mean, I've only done two at that point. And
no, looking back from where you are today, looking back from where you are today, what stands out about that album compared to all your other ones?
Now, what stands out to me is just the mixing. It bothers me. The drums are too loud. The vocals are too quiet.
I see.
So I just don't have the ears.
Well, you could easily remix this.
Yeah, I can, but, you know, I can do that with all my albums. Then I don't know. I don't want to do that right now.
Would you let someone do it if somebody wanted to do it?
Yeah, that'd be all cool.
If anyone wants to remaster this album, our email's thing. Description. Bio.
Description. I was also going to say that I wanted this to be like a kind of comical, like satirical in a way. I don't know if I achieved that.
The whole album?
Yeah. Like about LA, like a satire about LA.
Yeah.
That's why it's pink, I guess. It's looking on the bright side. I see my discography as a tunnel.
Okay.
Or contrast. Not that much, but... because I feel like my first album was like...
Black. Wait, did you say you see that your albums as a tunnel?
Yeah, because... Okay. You listen to me.
I just want to make sure I heard it.
Because when you start, it's black... And then there's, like, you get, like, a little blue. And then you get pink in the halfway there.
Oh, so it's going through a tunnel.
Yeah. Okay. And then at the end, it's white. And it just leaves you on a positive note. From darkness to lightness.
That is a brand new theme that no one has ever explored.
Fuck you.
I think it works very well.
I like the color scheme.
I like the music. I like the progression of songs. I think they all work well together. And they, as you said, sort of start you off kind of feeling neutral.
Yeah.
And then you finish feeling like good.
Yeah, I guess so. Do you remember the first time you listened to this album?
I do. It was... I think 3 or 4 days after I met you.
Oh.
Because you told me about your music name and I had to track it down.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
That's cool.
I was just sleeping in. It was like a Saturday and I didn't feel like getting out of bed and put it on.
Gooned for a few minutes while I was listening to it. Oh, God.
No, the first time I heard it, I was listening to your music in order, and I liked all of it, and I liked this album, and there's a few songs on here that I really liked.
Thanks.
And I thought, wow, he's so talented.
Well, yeah.
No, it made me smile, because I liked you, but it was nice that you were also so talented. I'll say, if somebody wants to play a drinking game to this podcast, every time...
Jesse?
Jesse.
Yeah.
Every time. I couldn't remember. I didn't want to get in trouble.
What?
Every time Jesse says, I think I did pretty good, take a shot. What is the next album that we're going to...
I'm going to say it's Air.
And which album?
Pocket Symphony.
Okay.
I'm excited. It's a very Japanese album.
And we're going to Japan soon.
Yes.